The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and your favorite Chicago Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
A special Memorial Day weekend edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Hope you're having a very terrific holiday weekend. You know, last night I was at the United Center, guys, and Tom, you can relate to this. I'm watching the Blackhawks in another overtime game in their series against the Ducks, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they start to show some of the famous people in the crowd on the big video board on top of the United Center there. And John Fox pops up at one point. And I couldn't help but think, what's running through the mind of the Bears head coach? Gets a huge standing ovation because I think people understand there's so much hope now that he's here that things can turn around. And while he's watching the most successful sports franchise today in Chicago.
But you said it. It all pertains to success. You see the adoration of the fans, their support, their commitment from start to finish, no matter how long the overtimes go. It's inspiration to a head coach that came to a city that has a reputation as some of the greatest fans of all sports out there. And now when you sit amongst them, and you see the national anthem, and you see the continuous cheering of the fans, you see the effort of the players, the concern and the concentration on the coach's face. Man, it's got to really start your blood boiling if you're John Fox, and you know, if I succeed, look what these fans are willing to contribute and support our football team.
You know, Jim, you were lucky because you were in a situation in Pittsburgh where I think it's very similar to Chicago in terms of the way the football team is treated by the fans of that city. So when did you realize, when you came here, when you first came to the Bears after your career with the Steelers, when did you realize, just maybe walking on the street here in Chicago or being at a restaurant somewhere, that this is a little different what you deal with when you wear a Bears uniform in this city?
Well, I think you come to realize pretty quick of, you know, just the storied franchises that you're with. You know, for me, it was when I walked in the Steelers' front entryway. You see the Lombardi Trophy, so you kind of know what you're getting into. And I think when you arrive at the Chicago Bears doorstep, you realize the history, the tradition, what the team means. It's championships, obviously the great players that have been through Hallisaw, and it's everywhere you go within the city. You know, in Steeltown, yeah, there were the terrible towel. Everywhere you went, you saw either a Pittsburgh Steelers bumper sticker or somebody waving the terrible towel. In Chicago, it's the same way. Everywhere you go, you know, you could be driving down Milwaukee Avenue, and there you go, there's a Bears sticker, or somebody's got a Bears flag, or a Bears hat, or a Bears coat. So you're always reminded of how much the football team means to the city. So I'm sure John Fox is welcoming it, and I'm sure, I don't know, maybe he was sitting in the crowd wondering what the new extra point rule was going to do into his decision-making that he's going to have to do this season.
You know, one thing about the fans here in Chicago, they have such a strong, deep foundation because they're all original teams. It's not, you know, experience a city that's going through an expansion where you're getting new fans and you're gaining momentum, or you're outside the structure of Chicago. Because these are all the original sports teams, it goes back to the foundation that is generations thick.
There are very few people that can relate to, say, what the Blackhawks are going through. You're one of them, Tom. You've won a championship. You've played in big moments and big games throughout your career. And it's interesting to me, you know, when you follow social media, now you get an opportunity, if you're a fan, to find out what your favorite Bears are doing when they're not out on the practice field or in games. Kyle Long is a very vocal supporter of the Blackhawks. When you guys were going through your heyday during the 80s, did you hear from the other players in town on the other franchises?
Yeah, you did, because you had a certain sense of confidence. When you did walk around the other professional athletes of the city of Chicago, you walked with your head held high, in whether it was the Cubs, Sox, Blackhawks, Bulls, whatever. And you felt good about it. But again, I think you wanted the good of what your team was doing to contribute to the rest of the city and the rest of the teams. Because I'm a Chicago fan. I'm all for success. I probably grew up more of a Sox fan than I did a Cubs, but I'd love to see the Cubs win a World Series. And I think that's the whole key is here, is the supportive attitude of the fans. It goes from city to city, or you know, when we travel around as Bears, and or else when you see the support at home, like Coach Fox was able to sit in last night at the Hawks game.
Jim, funny moment during that game. There was another point where, you know, they do this at every stadium in any sport in North America. They have the kiss cam where they show couples and random couples on the screen there during a break or a timeout, and they have to kiss. And then at one point, guess who closed out the kiss cam game at the United Center last night? Yes, John Fox, wearing an orange shirt right next to his wife. So good times. The crowd went crazy.
Attaboy.
Fox was into it. So he was playing to the crowd. Definitely knows what he needs to do to win the crowd over.
Yeah, well, he does. I mean, this is not some newbie coach. He understands what he's getting into in Chicago, and he's fantastic. He gets it. You know, I've said this all along. I mean, for him to take the Carolina Panthers to the Super Bowl, then to do it in Denver, had a winning season every year he's been out there, and now to arrive at Chicago's doorstep, to me, Chicago is lucky to have a guy like John Fox. He knows what he's doing, and he knows what he's getting into.
Now, one thing that he's never done in his career is have to deal with these new rules with the point after and the two-point conversions. Now, you've been talking about this throughout the last week since it became official, since Dean Blandino tweeted it, and now the entire world knows. Can you take us through, Jim, what exactly these new rules mean when you're watching a game, when you're truly watching a game? How is it going to affect you as a fan?
I don't think for the regular season it's going to affect the fans too much, but the caveat is Soldier Field. You know, all the kickers that I've talked to this week, anybody from Dan Carpenter of the Buffalo Bills or even retired former Detroit Lions kicker Jason Hansen, every kicker, their knees buckle when they come into Soldier Field. It's a tough place to kick. It really is. You know, I've seen a lot of, you know, guys that I played with like Jeff Jaeger and all the successful kickers, even the current one in Robbie Gould, their percentages are fantastic. It's the opposing kickers that come into Soldier Field. They're going to be numb a little bit, especially late in the year when the weather gets bad. So I think overall the picture that I'm getting, I'm trying to understand and starting to understand, I don't think early in the year it's going to affect anything because kickers will be successful at a 33-yard, what is now going to be a 33-yard extra point. They're still over 93%, actually 94.3 in terms of success rate. Yeah, they'll be the anomaly where a guy just misses one, but it's pretty much automatic for them even from 33 yards. But when it gets late in the year, when the weather gets bad, then maybe that's when it starts to factor in, especially like a field like Soldier Field, where a lot of these kickers, opposing kickers, get psyched out coming into Soldier Field.
You know, one thing I think about the extra point is I think about the fundamental development of an extra point or field goal team. And when I came into the NFL and you used to be able to attack the heads of the centers and the long snappers were a lot bigger. Now you can attack the head of the centers, so they've gotten smaller. And that means the interior of your protection has to be bigger and stronger because you're losing size in the center. Now if you have to concentrate your thickness in the middle and you open up space on the outside, which is almost, it's more difficult to block on the outside than it is on the inside, you're going to be susceptible to getting some blocked. Zach, you were on the field for the Baltimore field goal that Robbie Gould made at the end of the game that had the rain delay.
Right.
Now, if you put players in that position, there is no guarantee. But I do think the structure of your extra point team has to be a lot more solid now because you're going to open up creases and give the opportunities for blocks.
You know, you make a great point, Tom. And, Jim, you can elaborate on this. Jay Feely, who ended last season with the Bears, has been very vocal about how this new rule where you now snap for kick from the 15-yard line, you're going to have offensive linemen that get hurt because of the change here that Tom talked about.
Well, the rules have changed, though. You can't have a right push in terms of field goal block. It's not like the old days where you could load up four guys on, say, a field goal block guard or a field goal block tackle. So the rules are different. But what I will say is this. when the game is on the line, say, hypothetical, say the Bears are in a 20-20 matchup against division rival Green Bay Packers. Okay, it's 20-20. You need Coach Fox elects to kick the extra point for the win, meaning it'd be 21-20. What I will say this about the NFL players, they are some of the greatest athletes on this planet. And when the game is on the line, that's when guys show up and make a play. So that, to me, is where you're going to see some crucial plays, whether it be a block or something like that. Really, the case in point or the example would be last year when Carolina was lining up to play the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs after their win against the Arizona Cardinals. Did you see Cam Chancellor basically leapfrog the entire line? There was a penalty on the play, but that would have been blocked. Carolina was able to line up again and kick it through, but those are the type of crazy plays when you have great athletes that are fiercely competitive when the game's on the line. That's what I think you'll see, and it'll be exciting for the fans because now the defense can return it for 2 points as well.
You know, I think the constant search for quality snappers is still going to be out there, and there's going to be more emphasis on it because it's just not going to be an easy 7-yard throwback and you have the foregone conclusion that these guys are going to make it. Because I said the size of the snappers have been reduced, they give up more penetration in the middle, and it's just not going to be just a guarantee that every one of these things are going to be simply made. Because if you get any kicker that goes out there and he's not comfortable in his plant step, it'll go through his mind continuously from start to finish of the game.
We've got to take our first time out of the show. Coming up next, are we going to start seeing 2-point specialists in the National Football League? Is this going to be a thing now? And I'll tell you, you're never going to believe this. Guess who led the National Football League in 2-point conversions last season?
Don't know.
The Chicago Bears. 5 for 5. They led the league in 2-point conversions last year. They also led the league back in 2013. That was their specialty over the last couple of seasons. Is it going to be the same this year because of the rule change? We'll find out. Bears All Access rolls on with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Super Bear Shuffle 5K, powered by PowerPlate, takes place on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. You know, Memorial Day weekend is the first weekend where you start to do the summer activities. And, you know, you see Jim on the bike. You know, he's preparing every single day like there's no tomorrow, always training for something.
Miller's on the bike?
Miller's crazy when it comes to the athletics.
I was more like cleaning the garage today is what I did to work up a sweat. But case in point taken. I'll give you that, Zach.
I gave him an opportunity to brag about something, and he can't do it.
Cleaning the garage.
Yeah. Hard at work. It was the honey-do list today, boys. And that officially is our first day of spring in the Miller household. Let's put it that way.
Jim Miller is here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to start to find out and take a closer look as OTAs begin for the Bears this week. The position battles that we need to keep an eye on heading into this final month of the offseason, where we kind of know the way things are going to be situated heading into training camp and the start of the regular season. But before we do that, you know, remember when the Eagles signed Tim Tebow?
Right.
People were scratching their heads and were trying to figure out, like, why would Chip Kelly do this?
No way.
What could he possibly be thinking by signing Tim Tebow? It can't be just to play quarterback. And now this week, because of the new change where, you know, they push the point after to the 15 and you have 2-point conversions where if a defense gets a takeaway on a 2-point conversion, they can run it back for 2 points of their own. So that's a big deal there. But is Chip Kelly thinking ahead of everybody else, Jim, in the NFL? And did he sign Tim Tebow to be a 2-point specialist?
Wow, it's interesting that you bring it up, and you bring up the team that was the most successful prior to the break, that the Chicago Bears were the most successful on 2-point conversions. The Eagles are one of 8 teams that never even have attempted a 2-point conversion. I mean, if you go through all of last year, and everybody thinks, oh, Chip Kelly's just aggressive, this guy's going for it, and he didn't. And the reason why, and I go back to this, is a 2-point chart. And for the listeners out there, there is an algorithm, basically a mathematical equation, that will decide for coaches when they need to go for two. And it's all dependent on the score in the game. And I still think coaches who are conservative by nature are still going to rely on that two-point chart, even with the new rule, the extra point rule that is implemented this year. And why? Because even a 33-yard extra point, it's still automatic. I think, again, late in the year in a bad weather stadium like Lincoln Financial in Philadelphia, yes, teams are going to have to attempt more two-point conversions or in Soldier Field if they miss an extra point. Because by happenstance, even though the statistic says they're accurate 94.3% of the time at 33 yards out, there's going to be one that you just flub. It'd be like me as a quarterback and I miss a wide open receiver. I can't explain it. It just happens. And some kickers are going to miss what is almost an automatic play. And so at some point in time, you're going to have to perform more two-point plays. So it will go up, but I don't think teams are going to come into the season and say, you want to know what? We're going to unveil this brand new two-point play package, because those plays have already existed. Even when I played, you went into a week where you had two-point plays that you're going to try to attempt and convert if the situation called for it. But no, I don't think it's going to be some new, you know, era of football where two-point plays are going to be executed at a totally different level than what it's been in the past.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Tim Tebow is some unkept secret now that the NFL has brought in two-point conversion. And was it a, you know, something they did behind the scenes? I think, you know, when you go out there, you're still going to – it's still running your regular offense. It's still personnel and the terminology that you have to be very familiar with. Like Jim says, you're not going to go out there and have some secret package that's going to be only used for two-point plays. That's not realistic. You still have a boundary. You still have formations. You still have – what assets are on the field for you in terms of receivers, running backs, and even the athleticism of your quarterback. All those things are going to be in consideration when a team comes up there and puts a defense against a two-point attempt.
And Tom brings up a good point, because today, as it stands today, two-point conversions are less than 50%. They're about 47.8%. So, again, the coach is going to make the decision based on probabilities. And the probability is that a 33-yard extra point is more of a guarantee than a two-point conversion. 94.3%, as I mentioned, compared to 47% of a two-point conversion.
So you bring up the 94.3% with the way it is going to be heading into this season. Why make a change in the first place? There are a lot of people that will say the NFL is as good as you're ever going to see it right now in terms of the popularity of the game. Don't fix what isn't broken. Why the change? When they were meeting behind closed doors, what's the realistic thought process behind making a change like this where you go from nearly 100% to 94.3%?
Because the NFL thinks it's an inconsequential play, that everybody is leaving their seats and they're going to go to the restrooms, whether it's in the stadium or at home on their couch, because it's an automatic play. Now they want to make a play more competitive. They want it to mean more. If they really wanted to mean more, and that's why it's only a year, the NFL implemented this rule, and they're just going to evaluate it over the 2015 season in the NFL. If they really wanted to have more meaning, they should have moved it back to a 50-yard extra point. And why do I say that? Because then the percentages drop just below 70%. Kickers from 50 yards out are about 66%, you know, so that would have made it a more 50-50 play. Now think of a kicker late in the year coming into Soldier Field and the opposing coach is saying, all right, hey, we got an opportunity for a two-point conversion, or we send our field goal kicker out there for an over 50-yard extra point. Now there's something to think about in terms of weather, because the kickers are still 66% from 50 yards. Now it would factor in where it almost balances out, where it's a 50-50 proposition from either side. So that may happen in the future, that they move it back even further. But think about this also, because Tom knows this in his career. Think about all these kickers. They're going to show up at training camp, and all they're going to do is working on 33-yard extra points, right? Where it's, I will argue this, that from 93.4%, that percentage, or 94.3%, I believe that will go up. Because it's like me as a quarterback. If you were to tell me to hit somebody's right shoulder pad or their left shoulder pad, I could pretty much do it. That's how skilled these guys are at their craft. And now they're going to line up and practice those all day long. From where they want to put it on the field, they're going to say, hey, put it right in the middle. They can tell the official where they want the football, not on the right hash, not on the left hash. I want it right in the middle. And they're just going to be banging away at these field goals or extra points all day long in practice. They're going to get so good, I believe their percentages will go up, not down. So if you want to affect them, move it back further where it's a more challenging kick and it's more of a 50-50 proposition.
But I do think it would take a toll on the bottom end of the kickers, the bottom third of the kickers in the league. I think it would be both the psychological and a mental hurdle for these guys because if you start missing extra points, you're going to lose your job.
Right.
Well, the good news for the NFL is we just spent the first two segments of the program talking about the point after and the two-point conversion. That has never happened in the history of Bears All Access. So, guys, we just made history. When we come back, we're going to start breaking down the key positional battles heading into the final month of the offseason program for the Bears. Plus, coming up in just a little bit, you might as well start calling up now. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Again, 312-644-6767. We're going to play Are You a Bears Authority by asking Tom, our Bears Authority. Ask Tom. Here's the way it works. Rapid fire phone calls from you. Anything in the world of football is fair game for Tom Thayer. Judge Jim Miller sits back. He listens to your phone calls. At the end of the segment, he picks out a winner. The best caller of that segment wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Again, 312-644-6767. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week on Inside the Bears, Spice Adams catches up with his old teammates Alex Brown, Jason McKee, and Hunter Hillenmeyer. J-Mac, by the way, celebrating, I think, his 35th birthday earlier this week, so happy birthday to him. Lindsay Petrucci tours the ultimate Bears man cave. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs tonight at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. 312-644-6767 is the phone number to play Ask Tom, which we will do in our next segment. The winner of the segment, basically the best caller over a 10-minute span, gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. But before we do that, let's kind of hit the big, I think, topic of conversation that's going to take place over the next month heading into the final month of the offseason for the Bears, and that is defensively, when you start to take a look at what they're going to look like in this new 3-4 defense, which I guess at times is going to look more like a 5-2 than a 3-4, according to Vic Fangio. But there are several players that are being asked to do very different things in this defense than they were in the previous one. One is Tim Jennings, who was on the outside playing corner alongside Charles Tillman last season. That may not be the role he has this year.
Well, you know, you look at the paper today and Ed Donatell, the defensive backs coach, it's a group of guys in a human chemistry experiment, Donatell says. You're putting them all together, and now how can you make the sum and those parts really strong? And I think, you know, when you look at a guy like Tim Jennings and play in the corner and, experimenting in the slot, and now you have new defensive back responsibilities according to your front coverage and stuff. So they are trying to figure out what is Tim Jennings' role going to be. Where is he going to be the best and the most competitive with everybody else who's competing out there? And, you know, you probably have to go to the second level when you talk about Shea McClellan. And let's bring it down to the first level about Jared Allen. You're going to look at guys that obviously there's the athleticism and the talent is there. But now when you have such abrupt changes at different times in your career, is Tim Jennings, where is he going to fit best? Where is Shea McClellan going to shine the brightest? And what is Jared Allen going to be able to contribute when Coach Fangio puts him in the best attacking position they can possibly get for Jaron? And those are the things that we'll start seeing in OTAs when they move around.
Jim, do you have an idea just before this thing gets started of where people are going to be slotted in this new Bears defense?
I think I get an idea, but I agree with Tom. It's more about situational play, and you put players in those situations where they're going to be the most successful. For Tim Jennings, I do see him as a nickel corner and say they're nickel sets, you know, because we've said it the past couple of years, it's the number one personnel grouping offenses are going to put on the field, so you better have three corners, and you better have a good nickel corner who can deal with two-way goes of a slot receiver. In terms of the linebackers, I think they're still trying to sort it out. You know, I can see Christian Jones as an inside, strong side linebacker. And then I can see Mason Foster as the weak inside backer, because we know John Bostic, he's been dealing with the back. Now, it remains to be seen what, Jared Allen. I believe he can do it as a weak side rush linebacker, and then I would see Pernell McPhee as the strong side linebacker, one against the run, and then potentially in passing situations, him kick down that he did in Baltimore. He's played everything from a one technique, a three technique, a five technique, you name it. Pernell McPhee has done it all. And then potentially Shea or another linebacker could come in that situation. So I think it's about mix and matching. They're going to experiment with it all through the OTAs and training camp and then through the preseason games and then say, you know what? This is our best group against stopping the run. This is our best group against, say, play action pass. This is our best group in third and nickel situations. And these are the groupings that we're going to go with, judging by how they played and how they sorted out.
You know, Jim, one thing that's going to interest me is when you look at the start of OTAs until the first regular season game, it's almost like you're preparing for the Green Bay Packers for 6 months as you're putting in your systems. But when I look at the Green Bay Packers, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Seattle Seahawks, the first 3 weeks of the season, each offense is going to bring a little bit different dynamic than the week before. So to me, it's going to be interesting how quickly can these guys that we're talking about make that transition from week one of the NFL season to week two when you're facing a different opponent and you have limited preparation time.
Yeah, no, I agree, especially off the bat. As you mentioned, Green Bay, you're going against a veteran quarterback. Arizona would be week two. I think we expect Carson Palmer to be healthy by then. Then you got Seattle. You're going to face a heavy dose of run in that week three matchup up in the Great Northwest. So I think the Bears have a tough schedule early, and they need to be prepared for all those situations that Tom just mentioned. One, specifically, you've got to be able those first 2 weeks to try and slow down two veteran quarterbacks. It's not Aaron Rodgers' first rodeo, and it certainly is not Carson Palmer's first rodeo. You could probably do some things against a young Russell Wilson, who is a good player, but still isn't to the level of those guys cerebrally and what Vic Fangio is going to try to do to really, you know, make a mistake. Just cause a veteran quarterback to pause in his thinking where he's unsure a little bit. But that's very difficult to do with guys of their experience.
In his days in San Francisco, Fangio was 4-0 against right. Rodgers' Packers. So he has had a little bit of success getting into his head somewhat. Jim Miller's here, so's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. You know, we take it for granted sometimes when we talk about how certain guys are going to fit into the defense. For example, you know, Jim was saying that, you know, Tim Jennings, his best spot on this defense is probably in the slot as a nickel corner. You know, you were talking about Jared Allen playing defensive end, but take me into the mind of a player, Tom. You know, do these guys at this stage of their lives, do they want to switch positions?
I mean, you definitely want to stay employed. So you have to do whatever is asked of you according to the new coaches that are bringing. But sometimes that's the fun of it. If you do know that you have certain strength and a certain appeal to coaches, and they try to put you in that position a higher percentage of time than they put you in what your perceived weakness is. But sometimes that's the fun of the battle of an athlete. Can I overcome what they believe my obstacle is? I know I'm a good pass rusher. I know that I can shed blocks on the inside. I know I can cover corner slots wherever you are. But again, are you good enough to overcome what your perceived weakness is? And we all get evaluated. Every single, you know, I read evaluations of myself from coaches that I knew back then to see what they thought. And that's what everybody, you know, faces week in and week out is, you know, how are they going to try to attack me so I don't fall back on my weakness?
You know, I know, Jim, what Tom said is that everyone wants to stay employed, but these guys were brought to the Bears initially for a very different reason than what they're being asked to do right now. And there are other teams that play the style of defense that they're accustomed to. So while you want to stay employed, there are other teams that can do a better job with your skill set maybe than a specific defense. How do you balance that out in your head?
Well, I think for you as a player, you've got to challenge yourself to showcase what a good athlete and football player you are. You know, whether it's coaches, whether it's players in the National Football League, whether it's rightly or wrongly, you get labeled. You get labeled. And so it's your opportunity as a player to shed that label, which is what? It's only going to increase your value. Remember how many years Julius Peppers, he can't play in a 3-4. Well, it looked like he played in a 3-4 pretty good from my perspective up in Green Bay. Those guys on defense said he was their best player up in Green Bay. Look at Dwight Freeney, typically a 4-3 defensive end. Chuck Pagano comes in as Indianapolis Colts, ask him to play in a 3-4 outside linebacker role. Granted, he got paid good money, but he goes out to San Diego and plays in their 3-4 defense. So I think you can look at it as an opportunity if you're a player. One, to showcase how good of a player you are, and to expand your mind a little bit and showcase how versatile you are. And be a good teammate. If that's what they're asking you to do, you got to go out and do it. It's not like the Bears right now are going to scrap and go back to a 4-3 just to appease Jared Allen. He's going to have to adapt and show what a good athlete and what a good player he is in the NFL.
You know, throughout our career, all of our confidence is going to be challenged. When I came to the Bears, when I was with the Bears and they hired Dave Wannstedt, I knew that I wasn't his lineman. I knew Tony Weiss wanted bigger guys. And it didn't hurt my confidence. And when they cut me, I still went down to the Miami Dolphins and made the Miami right. Dolphins and still felt I was confident to go play in the NFL. So, you know, it's just a different perception. And that's one of the resiliencies why a guy like Jared Allen has been in the NFL so long. He's got a tremendous amount of self-faith, a confidence in himself. You put me in a position, and I'm going to succeed. Just tell me how you want the job done.
I also think it's a big deal in who's delivering the message. And there's a lot of trust when you have someone like John Fox and Vic Fangio delivering the message based on the success that they've had with a variety of different players in the league. It's not as though you're getting some college coach that's just come in trying to run his program. That's a big deal, too.
Well, that's a good point, and it's something to expand upon, because think about last year out in Denver. Here you've got one of the greatest all-time quarterbacks in NFL history in Peyton Manning. And John Fox and Adam Gase said, you want to know what, big boy? You're ailing right now. You're hurt. We need to run the football. It's not about chucking it all over the lot right now. It's about running and playing good conservative football to keep you healthy throughout the year. And guess what? Peyton Manning listened because of the guy who was delivering the message.
We've got to take a timeout. When we come back, we open up the phone lines. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We're going to play Ask Tom. Rapid fire phone calls. Your questions. 10-minute span for Tom Thayer. At the end of the 10-minute segment, Jim Miller will pick a winner, and that winner, the best caller of the segment, gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. That's next. Zaidman, Thayer, Miller, Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you. It's time to play Ask Tom. You ready for this?
Always.
Let's do it.
Here's how we do it. We go rapid fire with the phone calls. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. At the end of the segment, best caller wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. So you guys get an opportunity to ask Tom anything you want in regards to football. We'll begin right now with Paul at Midway. Paul, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Paul.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Enjoying the show. Question, with John Fox and Coach Fangio, hope I said his yep. name right, being older coaches, more experienced, how is the new analytical things of computers and stats and, you know, everything provided to them, or do they more or less seek out certain things like, you know, like Matt Forte on 3rd and 4, he's successful X amount running this play? How is that stuff provided, and is it helpful, or is there a limit to it?
It's funny, Paul, because I think they're football purists. I think they have the knowledge and they have the sense of understanding when a player is competitive, that his character is willing to go from the start of the game till the end of the game. And those are the football decisions that have to be clearly made, and that's where their experience and their expertise will be the most important. But, yeah, there comes a point in time where there is a number or a fact that comes in to play that somebody with an understanding of the numbers can probably give them a clearer sight to it. Do they base their success and failure on analytics? I don't think so. I do think it's about the development of the chemistry of the team, making sure they make the right decision on each position out there, and they get the guys to play at their best. I think that's the true experience and expertise of Coach Fox and Coach Fangio and Ed Donatell and the rest of these guys.
I think sometimes people forget that, yeah, the analytics matter, but they're attached to a human being, and you have to you have to keep in mind the human element in regards to the numbers that people keep talking about, and you can't separate the two.
Right. It's like we were talking earlier, an old coach calls analytics statistics, but now they call it analytics. So there is a way that it helps a staff. It helps people make a decision. But I do think it is about the football decisions they make about the players way before analytics ever come into play.
312-644-6767, the phone number, gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line for the best caller of the segment. We play Ask Tom. Your questions for Tom Thayer. Mike in Vernon Hills, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Mike.
Mike's a little shy. It happens. Let's give it another go. Mike, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. You hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Tom, we heard Jim talk about the percentages for 2 points versus now the new one-point kick. The new one-point kick is, I think I heard, 94%. The two-point conversion is 47%. So, effectively, they're the same. The expected outcome is 0.94 points in both cases. Given that, don't you think teams like Seattle, Green Bay, New England will probably go, you know, given their quarterbacks, go for the two-point conversion every time?
You know, I do think that's going to be part of the preparation evaluation of the team. If you go out there and you go, okay, we have a guy that's playing on the other side of the ball in this type of territory who can't either take on a block or he can't cover a certain type of route, or our quarterback is so great with his feet that he can create space, yeah, I think it's going to be discussed a little bit more, and maybe that's when analytics will come involved. But I do think how you structure your game plan against your opponent is the scouting department goes out there and they see what the strengths and weaknesses of your team are. If you go against a team and their strength is playing short territory defense, you're going to probably be a little bit more reluctant to go that route. But it is going to be about the evaluation of the personnel across the football.
312-644-6767. We continue playing Ask Tom. Steve in the car. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Steve.
Well, hi, guys. I enjoy the show. And, boy, I hate to be redundant because I was basically asking the same question. My question was, if you figure over 100 touchdowns, you got 94%, you score 94 points. If you get 47 two-point conversions successfully, you score 94 points. It's kind of a wash, although no coach is going to do 100% of just one. And I was going to ask kind of basically the same question. Will somebody consider that? Will they? And so I'm sorry that I came in right after Mike.
No, Steve, I think those are the questions that are around the football nation. Everybody has different concerns. But I think it's going to come down to the time of year, and personnel is going to have so much to do with your decision-making. If you're 100% confident in your snapper, holder, and kicker, I think that you're going to say, okay, we have the success rate of this play, let's go with it. But if you have field conditions and injuries and different things, I think that will alter decisions at different points in the year and even different points in the game if the team that you're playing against is suffering some injuries that they may become more susceptible to giving up big plays.
A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. 312-644-6767. Ask Tom continues with Pat on the southeast side. Pat, you are on Bears All Access.
How you doing, Jim and Tom? Happy Memorial Day. I just wanted to ask you, Tom, I'm really concerned, where is Jay Cutler now going to fit with the new offensive system? I mean, do you think he's going to be out of place? That was the concern I have. I mean, what is Jay Cutler going to fit?
You know, he's not going to be out of place because all the measurables of Jay Cutler proves that he has what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. Now, how is Adam Gase going to get into the mind of Jay Cutler to make sure he has an understanding of what the quarterback position has to do in order for this offense to succeed? And hopefully it's going to come from the support of the offensive line, from the running back position, and all the receivers out there. So, yeah, every player out there has to be better than they were last year, including Jay Cutler in the quarterback position. But I do think it's going to take a team that's going to get the best out of Jay. It's not going to be, Jay Cutler all of a sudden becoming a player that's going to get the best out of the other players. It's going to take a team aspect for everybody to, you know, run the offense that everybody wants the Bears to run.
312-644-6767, the phone number here on Ask Tom. Basically, we go rapid fire for 10 minutes, and at the end of the segment, Jim Miller is writing everything down, has a scouting report on every single caller that's asking you a question, and at the end of the segment, we ask Jim, who was the best caller? Jim goes, it was blah, blah, blah. And that caller wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So that's basically how we play the game.
But it's funny because there is a lot of two-point concern around the league. But I do think that the Bears fans are probably most concerned about the quarterback position. And that's why week in and week out, we always get that question about the future of that position.
Back to the phones we go. Jim, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My question is, you know, the Bears are going to have a new defensive scheme. And I wanted to know how much do the other teams in the division, how much do they have to study up, and how concerned do you think they are that the Bears are going to have a new scheme and they can't just look at the old playbook and see what we are doing?
You know, you're going to have all the teams in our division are going to go back and look at, they're going to break down the tapes of San Francisco. They're going to go wherever Vic Fangio was as a defensive coordinator, and they're going to get that information, and they're going to have a lot of different coaches studying the tendencies of the opponents that they're watching against. And so, yeah, you're going to see a very vanilla defense, I think, throughout the preseason. And then September 13, there's going to be a lot of questions in the mind of Aaron Rodgers as he approaches the line of scrimmage. But I think that's going to be the fun of it. You're going to have the ability to be on the attack with question marks on the other side of the ball and hope it works early, because the first three games we talked about are pretty tough.
I have a question before we go to our final caller here, and it's in regards to the preseason, because in the past, and you've been one of those guys, I've been one of those guys, I know Jim's been the same, you can never look at the preseason as a true indicator of what's to come, right? Because everyone's vanilla. But last year, man, that third preseason game that the Bears played in Seattle was a real indicator of some of the issues that the Bears faced during the regular season.
Yeah, it's tough to go into Seattle and play the third preseason game because they're at such an advantage because of the crowd noise, and you're still trying to work things out in the chemistry of your football team, so it's tough for a team to go in there and play the third preseason.
All right, last chance for someone to win the gift certificate to Sports Authority. We go to Brandon in Milwaukee. You're on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, it seems that football, more than any other sport, you can have the same players the following year and be a championship team. Therefore, my question is it more important players or the coaching and the scheme that makes for a successful team?
That's a great question. I think coaches can get the best out of players. I think if you get a coach that's been around a team for a time, and some players are trying to skirt around the work ethic and the things that you have to, the little things you have to do to become a championship team, sometimes that's what happened. But I think a group of coaches can come in and raise the confidence level of all the players. And then if that collectively works together for the team, and then you're going to see the best out of it. But, there's a lot of young potential, a lot of growth potential that the defensive coaches have to cultivate to make sure they play like veterans in their second year. So I do think coaches with a guy, you know, John Fox and his experience in leading teams to contenders, I do believe that the coaching staff can come in and instill confidence and make players play better and harder.
You guys have had your opportunity to ask Tom. Now we ask Jim, who's the winner of Ask Tom? Who gets that gift certificate to Sports Authority?
Wow, it was tough this week, especially that last caller with the chicken or the egg question, which comes first. But I'm going to go all the way back to Paul in Midway, because Tom answered it as old coaches, like, say, a Bill Parcells, they call it statistics. Now everybody's calling it analytics. But during the week when you prepare, all that information that is given to players in their game plan, it's broken down in-house. It's a five-game breakdown, so I would know as a player the probability of, say, an under-defense Mike Sam blitz showing up on first and 10, so to speak. But that's broken down in-house by the teams in terms of the game plans. There are some things that are done outsourced by teams, but you know, in terms of statistics and analytics, you as a player are going to know by down and distance what defensive front, what type of coverage, what type of blitz you can expect on pretty much any down. Because your opponent, they are going to show some things. They're going to show traits that show up consistently that you're going to be prepared for. But great questions all the way around.
We congratulate Paul from Midway on winning the gift certificate to Sports Authority. I want to hit on something that Jim said in our next segment here on Bears All Access. As players, what are the most frustrating parts of this new wave of analytics when it gets thrown your way? We'll discuss next with former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. We've been talking a lot about analytics, this new wave in football now, which I think has been around for a while. We just have a different name for it. You know, I think, Tom, you said it best. It's called statistics. They just label it as analytics now. But they've used statistics in football forever.
Right. It's different because when I was first exposed to this, it was George Allen, when I was playing for him in the USFL. He brought every day to practice this huge chart, like you see coaches carry around on Sunday. And it was all analytics. It was all designs of what teams do specifically after they have success or failure. And that's the way George broke it down. What is the percentage chances the team does after a pass completed of 25 yards or more? What does the team do if they have a successful run of 15 yards or more? And he had all these statistics broke down to these minute aspects that would help them call defenses more efficiently. And I was just blown away because this chart wasn't, you know, the name of the defense that he wants to call. It was percentages of the success or failure of the play before that filtered into his calling.
You know, Jim, one of the things that I find peculiar just looking at it from the outside is sometimes I think when you're constructing a team, you're looking at the analytics of a particular player and you forget that there's a human being attached to those numbers. So that person may not get along with everybody else in the locker room. He may be a divisive force. He may not be a guy who mixes well with what you've got going as a team. And I think sometimes NFL people lose sight of that.
Yeah, well, you're right. You bring in the human element. You know, and that can happen even, say, with an offensive quality control coach that makes a mistake in the statistics when he's watching the tape trying to break it down. I used to laugh because, remember, Charlie Coyner used to be an offensive quality coach for the Bears. And I remember we were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and John Gruden would just – he'd always mix up his personnel groupings. He'd be in regular offense, then he'd be in three wides, then he'd be in four wides, then he'd be in heavy. Well, is it a fullback? Is it a tight end? And Charlie would complain. He's like, I can't see the numbers, whether it's a fullback or a tight end. So I can't get the quality of information that I need in order to get you guys of what type of offensive set that they're going to be in, you know, for our defense. And you make a couple of mistakes, and it's hard to do, and it's a difficult job, but we all get paid to get it right at the end of the day. It's challenging. You got to take pride in what you do, and you try to minimize the mistakes as much as possible.
Good stuff, guys. Coming up in the next few weeks, the Bears begin the OTA portion of the offseason. A lot more to discuss as we count down the days until training camp. And the Bears have a new regime, brand new era of Bears football. For Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for joining us on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.